Massachusetts Republican Governor Charlie Baker warned yesterday that this week is the beginning of a very difficult period, the peak of the COVID-19 outbreak in the state, and hospitals are bracing. The state now ranks third for number of infections, nearly 27,000. The death toll is nearly 850. At Boston Medical Center, the fleet-footed city hospital accustomed to crisis, the ICU reached capacity more than a week ago, temporarily diverting ambulances to other hospitals. They've added beds. They plan to add more. So let's get the view from their ER, where Ron Medson is an attending physician and director of BMC's Solomont Clinical Simulation Center. He teaches staff how to use personal protective equipment, or PPE. He's also the husband of our colleague, Karen. We've spoken here before, and Dr. Medson joins us by Skype. Ron, welcome back.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Well, under the circumstances, though, not so much. And it's usually that way when we speak to you. I was remembering that we spoke to you right after the Boston bombing, when I think you were a little bit in shock. You were taking in patient after patient, missing limbs, you know, just a horrible moment. Very different time now. But how would you characterize what's happening now?
It's crazy. That's really hard to describe. You know, a few weeks ago when we were starting to see patients, there was, I think, a lot more fear, sort of the unknown. And as we get used to what these patients look like, how to manage them, it's actually become a little bit more routine. But last night was very, very busy. And, you know, our units are full and we have to expand that. And I've heard some crazy stories upstairs about running out of medications to sedate people and having to give them oral medications while they're intubated. So we're definitely feeling it.
And when you say what they look like, what are you seeing?
We have patients who are coming in off the street just looking for testing because they have a cough and they've been in contact with someone, all the way to people who really are struggling to breathe, have very low oxygen, and are at death's door.
And what do you do when they're presenting with symptoms and you know they're sick? What happens to everybody else in the emergency room? I mean, it's so infectious.
Sometimes there's a tendency to want to panic, and you have to calm everybody down. Really, the most important thing I've been stressing is that we protect ourselves first and foremost. For example, yesterday a patient came in who was not complaining of shortness of breath, but her oxygen saturation was in the 70s. So a normal oxygen saturation, you want over 90% at least.
Right.
So the nurse sort of ran in and wanted to get oxygen going and actually had to stop her physically and hold her back and say, wait, we need to put our equipment on and we got to be careful.
Need to put our equipment on. I want to talk about that. This is the donning and doffing, putting on the masks, the head covering, the gown, whatever it might be, the gloves, the booties. You and I talked about this and I couldn't believe the extent that you go to. Now, we're going to have videos at hereandnow.org people can look at. But I know that right now there are nurses and doctors who want to hear what you have to say about this right now and see those videos, because we're hearing from nurses and doctors in other parts of the country who aren't being properly instructed on how to put these on.
Putting them on is actually the easy part because you're clean. So even if you forget a step in its order, we usually use something called a buddy system, and I make sure that after I put on all of my stuff, somebody takes a look and makes sure that nothing's exposed. So I've got a pair of gloves, I put on a gown, second pair of gloves, an N95 mask, a head covering, and then I put on a visor. And that's just if I'm going to go in and do a nasal swab. So that's the easy part. The hard part is taking this off without getting contaminated. And that's why I train and have people pair off and actually read off a checklist. Because as great as we think we are not. And we can't see ourselves. I can't tell you how many times I've done a training where I've been sort of the example and I'm pulling off my gown and someone says, you know, your shoulder is exposed or you're touching your elbow here. And if that was coronavirus, I would have touched it to my clothing. And now I become someone who can infect myself, my family,
right,
my patients and my staff. And that is serious business.
So you were telling me that you know, maybe take off the gloves carefully, but you then wash your hands. You do something else. You then wash your hands.
Over and over again. So let's say I've taken a swab. I've deposited that. Someone's standing outside the door so I don't leave the room. I drop that bag into a clean bag. I turn around, sanitize my hands, take off that set of gloves. Sanitize my hands, take off my gown in a special way where I roll it forward so that I don't touch any of the exposed area. Throw that out. Sanitize my gloves again. These are gloved hands. Then I exit the room, sanitize my hands. Then I take off my head covering, wipe the visor, sanitize my hands again, wipe the inside of the visor, put the visor down, sanitize my hands again, take off my gloves, sanitize my hands, and then I walk over the sink and I do a full hand washing. Yeah. The other thing that's important to point out is that while I'm doing this, there are other patients being wheeled in who could be really sick, and I can't just rush into the next room, even though I have people saying, we got someone with low oxygen, needs to be seen next door. I have to go through this whole thing again just to get through the door.
Yeah.
And then to leave again. And so as they come in and as this surge comes, that's really my biggest fear and concern, is when the place is full and we're overwhelmed, the urge will be just to go and try to do something, but you have to stop and be careful.
Yeah. I have to say, Ron, there is humor in this dark hour. Your wife, Karen, speaks of working out in the basement when suddenly in you walk from the garage, buck naked except for your glasses, and you pass her. You pass her on your way upstairs and you say, so how was your day? Without even noticing. You take everything off in the garage before you come in the house.
Yeah, I actually change into clean scrubs before I leave the apartment and still take everything off in the garage.
Talk about donning and duffing.
I also carry a spray bottle of bleach. So I bleach everything I touch on my way upstairs to the shower. So, yeah.
I mean, you know, doctors must, across the country, must be petrified. We hear of doctors not going home because they're so afraid.
Oh, yeah. Actually, yesterday I was talking to one of my residents who has a 3-month-old baby. He's living apart away from his wife and child just to keep them safe. So he says the hardest part is when they get together and they have to be 6-10 feet apart with masks on. That's as close as he can get. And he says it's almost harder when they meet than when he's just sequestered.
Yeah. Talk about seeing the patients.
Seeing the patients, I find very difficult because I like to connect with people, and it's really hard when all you've got is your eyes above a mask and you're talking through two masks and a visor, and you can see the fear in their eyes, and that fear should be there. So I can't just comfort somebody, and I certainly can't say everything's going to be okay. My patient yesterday with the low oxygen, she's probably not going to do well. She might wind up on a ventilator in the next few days, and she might not pull through. So I can't, you know, make a false narrative, and it's really painful. And getting into discussions with family saying, why can't I come in? We had a 97-year-old, you know, odds are she's not going to make it. And they all want to come see her. I said, how can you keep us from seeing her? And, you know, what do you say to someone like that? All I could say is this narrative is playing out with thousands of people across this country. And it's the worst thing for me to have to tell you this. But right now we can't accept visitors because it's too much of a risk.
Yeah. What does that feel like to be surrounded with, you know, in this case, COVID-19, but, you know, it must be like a horror movie in which things replicate, you know, like patients replicate.
I don't mean to laugh, but yeah, it is. It's horrifying. And the thing I keep talking about is we have to be perfect, because anything short of perfection means that you've potentially infected yourself or someone else. And this is something that could make people sick or kill them. So you have absolutely no room for error, and it's exhausting. Every second of every day, I look at where I put my hands. Did I touch my face? Had I washed my hands? Did I put this down in the right place? And I'm constantly watching my staff as well and reminding them when I see things to try to keep everyone safe. It's exhausting.
We know you do volunteer work in Haiti, in Honduras, on Indian reservations here in the U.S. I'm imagining you can't even imagine, with everything you have in place at Boston Medical, I'm imagining that's your worst nightmare, what's going on where they don't.
Oh, it's terrible. I know that in Honduras, they've got something like 12 or 15 ventilators for the country, where I've worked in Fort Defiance. It's on a Navajo reservation in Arizona, and I've been helping them get prepared. But again, yeah, they're going to be overwhelmed. The nearest hospital is 3 hours away, and they've already told them that they're not going to be taking transfers. It's going to be a horror story.
Well, Ron, Dr. Medson, again, I'm betting that nurses and doctors listen to this. You teach. Give us some last thoughts for them.
Get a buddy. It's so important. Have somebody watch you put the stuff on and take the stuff off. It seems silly. You're going to save a life and might save your own.
That's Dr. Ron Medson, attending physician in emergency medicine at Boston Medical Center, also director of that center's Solomon Clinical Simulation Center, where he teaches others how to use their PPE, personal protection equipment. Dr. Medson, Ron, thanks so much.
Oh, you're welcome. It's my pleasure.
And by the way, he wanted to recognize the supply chain, support staff, nursing, and pharmacy who support doctors. Hear, hear.